Would turn to 1 John chapter 1. So 1 John chapter 1. We'll be there in just a moment. But I want to begin this morning by reading this verse up here on the screen. It may be familiar. I found out Juan and Cindy were going to make it today. When was that? Thursday? Friday? we're maybe going to have them here on Wednesday. I'm glad they got to come on Sunday because you get to see. I wish I had all these people here on Wednesday. Maybe one day. But I'm glad they got to come today and meet more of you. And I hope you'll take time after the service to meet them back there at their display and get to know them better. But it is 4th of July tomorrow. We have missionaries here with us today. And so I was kind of asking the Lord during the week what He would have me to preach on. And this is kind of where I landed. I think it's a bit about our country and also about missions. So we're going to look at Acts 1:8 here first on the screen. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That's what Jesus had to say to His disciples and followers just before He went back to His Father in heaven. He was going back to heaven, but the job, the mission was not yet complete. His disciples had the joy of, and so do we, of being part of that wonderful mission. That's what we're going to talk about here this morning. As I mentioned, it's 4th of July tomorrow. And as I thought about celebrating our heritage of religious freedom in this country and other freedoms that we enjoy, for which many of our founding fathers in this country staked their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, I was reminded of God's lament in the book of Ezekiel, that He looked for someone to make up the hedge, He looked for someone to stand in the gap, and He found no one. He found no one. And the nation of the city of Jerusalem and the nation was judged and wiped out by the enemy. The people went into captivity. God is a merciful God, but God is also a just God. God had told Israel way back in Deuteronomy, said, if you keep my law, if you stay true to me, then I will bless you in the land and you will stay there. But if you turn from me to idols, then I will curse you and I will scatter you. And that's exactly what happened to the nation of Israel. There was nobody to stand in the gap. There was no one to make up the hedge. And God's judgment came. Thankfully, at the beginning of our country, our beginning of our nation, there were many willing to stand in the gap who took this very seriously, the responsibility that seemed to be God-given to them. And at a crucial turning point in history of the world, there stand, many of whom were Christians, resulted in the rise of a nation that, despite its flaws, would be the greatest proponent of the gospel to the world for centuries. No nation has sent out more missionaries than the United States of America. No nation of such great size and power has used that power for more good in this world. No nation has stood so firmly on the freedom of religion and as a result has seen the gospel flourish and Christ magnified. And I believe all of those things are true of this nation and reason to celebrate July 4th. But that nation is vanishing. That nation is not what it once was. Only around 80% of our citizens today claim to believe in God, period. Not necessarily the God of the Bible, but just in God. That is the lowest it has ever been. Far fewer claim to believe in Christ, and far fewer in salvation by grace through faith. That number grows smaller and smaller and smaller every year. And even a minority of those actively participate in a local church, in the public worship of the Lord, and in the outreach of a Bible preaching church. And yes, today those religious freedoms that we have are under attack. We may not have felt the brunt of that as yet, but there are bills that have passed the House that, if enacted, would restrict our religious freedom considerably. We are under attack by Satan. He wants to destroy the nation that has sent out missionaries all over the world to take the gospel to others. It is our privilege and our responsibility to heed the words of our Savior here in Acts chapter 1. And to be witnesses for Jesus Christ, beginning in Jerusalem. Rather than giving up and throwing in the towel, we need to grab a hold of the opportunity that God has given us to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ to this community, to this nation, and around the world. A responsibility which we in the past few generations are failing in a way we have not. We have more money in finance, though it is in a little bit of jeopardy. We have more money in finance than ever in this country, and yet we find it harder and harder to get missionaries on the field. We find it harder and harder to find time to tell our neighbor about the Lord Jesus Christ and to reach out to our communities with the gospel. Too busy chasing big dreams, too comfortable enjoying our luxuries, too distracted by the amusements of this world. In Acts, before Christ departed, He commanded His disciples to be witnesses for Him in this world, a world that desperately needed to hear, and a nation in particular which did not want to. Does that apply to us today? I think it does. The same command is true. The same circumstance in some ways is true. We live in a nation that desperately needs Jesus, and fewer people want to hear. But God is still on the throne. God's Word is still powerful. It does not return void. It will change lives and hearts. People will be saved if we will dare to preach it, and if we will dare to share it, and if we will dare to hand it out, and if we will dare to show it and demonstrate it in our lives. What is a witness? A witness is someone who testifies to what they have seen or experienced. That's what a witness is. A witness isn't somebody who simply saw something or experienced something, but a person who is willing to share what they have seen and what they have experienced. When Jesus asked His disciples to be witnesses, He wasn't just asking them to witness, to see things, to experience things, but to turn around and share those things with others, to be His witness, to testify of those things. What were the disciples witnesses to? This is why I wanted you to turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4 together. 1 John 1, 1 through 4. John writes in this letter, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life." That's Jesus. "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. What did John say? John says here, I saw these things. I witnessed these things. I saw Him. I spoke with Him. I learned with Him. I ate with Him. I watched Him heal people. I witnessed His death. I witnessed His resurrection. And now I, as His witness, share with you all the wonders of Jesus Christ, of who He is and what He did, so that you may experience the joy in your life that I have in mine, knowing Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of my life. That is John's testimony to those to whom he is writing. He is being a what? A witness. Giving account so that others can know the Savior that he knows. In Acts chapter 26, and I won't turn there for the sake of time, but in Acts chapter 26, the Apostle Paul stood before King Agrippa and he gave his testimony under duress to one who had power over his life and death. And he gave witness, he spoke of his experience with Jesus Christ and what Jesus had done in his life when, as he was fighting God and attacking God's people, God stopped him on the road to Damascus, revealed himself to Saul, and Saul became Paul the apostle to the Gentiles. These were the things that these men were witnesses to. What are we witnesses to? What are we called on by God to testify before the world? Well, first of all, this right here. Does everybody have one of these in this world? No. Everybody read? A lot of those that have these, have they read them? No. There's nothing more precious than this book, because this is the revelation of God to man. This is God's witness through men, but yea, His witness to us of Himself. We can, first of all, share what God has placed in our hands and preserved for us. We can share that has changed our life and saved our soul with others so that they may know Him. But also, we can witness, as Paul did, of what God personally has done in our life. I have a testimony. I was 9 years old and I went with my parents to church. For several years we had been going to church. And I sat in a service one Sunday night and I can't remember what the pastor was preaching on. I had heard the gospel over and over and over again. But that night something was different. I couldn't get away from God. And when the invitation was given, I unclenched my hands from the pew in front of me. And I walked up an aisle, and I talked to the pastor, and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And my life changed. My life changed. And has changed because of Jesus Christ. I have a testimony. The Lord is with me wherever I go. The Lord sustains me. The Lord directs me. The Lord convicts me. Praise Jesus Christ. I have a testimony. And if you're saved, so do you. You can share this. You can share what God has done in here. It works best if you share both. And let others know what Jesus has done for you. That's what it means to be a witness. That's what Jesus was asking them to do, and that's what Jesus is asking us to do today where we live. Who are we to share this with? Well, we're to share with everybody. There isn't one distinct group we're to share it with. Another group we're not supposed to. We're to share it with everybody, for Jesus died for all and desires that all men be saved. Beginning where? According to the verse, Acts 1:8, beginning in Jerusalem. To them, Jerusalem was the heart of their nation and civilization. It was the place where Christ died and rose again. It was home away from home for many of Christ's followers. It was the place they were currently at. So Jesus said, beginning where? In Jerusalem. Did they begin in Jerusalem to be witnesses for Jesus Christ? Yes, when the Holy Spirit came, they went out of that upper room, and Peter preached that day, and 3,000 souls were saved. What did Peter have to say? All he did was witness. All he did was testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God did the rest. And they continued to, on following days and weeks and months, to testify of Jesus Christ there in Jerusalem, under growing duress from the authorities and eventually threats of death. But they did not shirk, they did not allow fear to stop them, and they did not forget the command of their Savior. And they started at Jerusalem, their home, their nation, the place where they lived. Question, what is home to us? What is our Jerusalem? United States of America? Florida? Clearwater? Largo? My family, my home. The fact is, we are in some respects losing the battle here at home, and losing it badly. We cannot reach a world for Christ if we're unwilling to fight the battle where?
Jerusalem.
In Jerusalem, here at home. We need to stand and be heard for Christ. We need to follow the way of the Lord here, where we are. Beginning quite literally in our homes. Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you want to turn there, I'll give you just a moment. If not, it's all right. Just listen as I read. But I'm going to read from Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 4, what Jesus had to say, what God had to say to the nation of Israel. He gave them the law at Mount Sinai. He revealed Himself through that law to them. He would make of them a nation that would be the salt and light of the world in their day if they would follow. He told them a very key, vital importance here, beginning in chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. In other words, take them, embrace them personally, make them your convictions. Choose God. Choose Jesus. Embrace Him by faith as Lord. But that's not where this ends. If you look in verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which He sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest you forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. What was God warning Israel? When you get into the land, and the land is conquered, And you have all these things that God has so richly and generously provided for you. Beware lest in your luxury and comfort that you forget who? That you forget God. The freedoms that we enjoy in this country and much of the wealth of this country and the prosperity of this country. We enjoy because of those 200 years ago who bled and died that we might have a place to worship God freely. For those that have bled and died in several wars since then, that we might have the privilege to worship God freely. And we as a nation have forgotten Him. And one of the reasons we have forgotten Him is because too many parents spend all their time focusing on things that are passing away. Houses and cars and bank accounts and fame, and not on their children and not on the Word of God, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Where is Jerusalem? It's your house. It's your home. It's your children. It's your grandchildren. It's your family. That's where this begins. Start at home. Too many Christians have lost their homes and they've lost their families because they did not teach their children diligently the things of the Lord. And so we're also losing our churches, our communities, and our nations. As goes the home, so goes the nation. And we have seen the results of that in just the past few years with all of the crazy stuff that has come down the pike that was just unimaginable 10 years ago. The devil's hard at work. We need to be hard at work too. Greater is He that's in us. But we need to step out in faith. We need to stand in the what? Gap. Beginning where? In our homes, with our families, in our neighborhood. Do your neighbors know you? Do they know you are a Christian? Do they know what that means? Do they? The Bible says the first great commandment from here in Deuteronomy 6, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy what? Heart. What's the second one? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you love your neighbor as yourself, are you going to take time to get to know them, to share with them, to witness to them of the grace of God that has been shown in your life? Are you going to take time to show them the love of God and to share with them the goodness of Jesus Christ? If you love them as yourself, I think you would, because you would want them to go where? Heaven. You would want them to know Jesus. At Christmas, my wife's pretty good at baking cookies and brownies and fudge, and unfortunately you can see the results of that. No, actually I won't blame her. It's results of this is more the checkers across the street. But at Christmas, it gives us an opportunity. So a few years back, we started making plates of cookies and taking them to our neighbors at Christmas. And guess what also comes with the plate of cookies? A gospel tract and an invitation to church. We had friend day. We hadn't had a friend day in a while because of COVID. We got to have a friend day soon. And we would have a friend day at church, and guess who would get invited? Our neighbors. We'd have revival, and guess who would be invited? Our neighbors. And I hope your neighbors too. It begins at home. It begins in our Jerusalem. Your Jerusalem is your neighborhood. Amen. I was talking to Jim and Betty and and Faye. And I think Judy's part of this too. But they live in Teakwood Village, just up the road. And I think it was Faye and Judy that started coming. And then Jim and Betty start. Well, Vern and, you know, I'm not leaving Glenn and Vern. Anyway, but the first ones I saw were Faye and Judy. And then Judy's husband. And then Jim and Betty. And then Jane, do you live in Teakwood? Jane lives in Teakwood. Do you know them?
Yes.
I'm leaving somebody out. We've got a new couple that started coming a few weeks ago. They're not here today, but they have said they love the church. She came to the ladies' meeting, and their names are Mike and Catherine. And guess what? They live around the same, in the same neighborhood on Teakwood. Guess what? Why they're here? They invited them. And so they have literally, and of course Judy's got a bunch of family here today, but they live in Indianapolis, so that's a little bit of a long drive. But anyway, but our church is growing thanks to them. And what are they doing? They're loving their neighbor as themselves. And they're inviting them to church. And our church family is growing. And you can do the same. Marilyn brought Vicki. It's good to have you with us again, Vicki, this morning. And so our church is growing. Praise the Lord. Be part of it. Go to your neighbors. Go to your Jerusalem. Witness of Jesus Christ to your fellow employees at work. Show them the love of Jesus Christ and how you treat them differently than other people do. Be a witness. Be a witness to your town, your state, and your nation. Be a witness by supporting your local church. And I'm preaching to the choir because you're here today. And you're supporting us. You're supporting us with your prayers, and many of you are supporting us with your finances. Be faithful. Be faithful to your church. Be faithful to the outreach, which we can need to do more of. Help with Vacation Bible School. It's in 3 weeks. Bring some kids to join us for Vacation Bible School. Pray for your church. Pray for your missionaries. Call unto me and I will show thee great and mighty things. Pray for your missionaries. Pray that the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. Amen. He will.
Yes.
Pray. Pray for the salvation. Pray for those 300 people that made a profession of faith. Pray that they would be able to see many of them. Pray that those that were saved would be grounded in the faith. Pray for those who maybe didn't quite understand, that they'll have the opportunity to help them to truly understand and be saved. Take a stand for Jesus Christ. Stand for the truth, even when it is unpopular. Or yea, even when it is dangerous. And I dare say on the mission field, sometimes it's dangerous. I know our friends, and we have some people who come from Canada during the winter to our church. You know where it's getting dangerous? Up in Canada. Pastors are being hauled off to prison for preaching the Word of God. Take a stand. Take the gospel. Take a track. I put a bunch of new tracks out. They're not folded yet. You can fold them yourself. But take some tracks. Praise God. I keep putting them out and they keep disappearing. That's a wonderful thing. So keep it up. Keep it up. Start at Jerusalem. But don't end at Jerusalem. Pray for these missionaries. Give that they might be able to go. And maybe the Lord will call you to go too. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your love to us. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you've given us to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ in this world today. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you that you are a risen Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving our souls. And we pray if there be one here that's unsure this morning, as we sing this hymn of invitation, Lord, I pray they'd come. We can share with them how to be saved and know it today. Lord, it's in Jesus' precious name we do pray. Amen. If you take your hymn